नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Text Number 27.
Tatastu Bhagavan Krishna Vayasair Vrajabalakai Saharamo Vrajastrina Chikride Janayanmuda Tatastu.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The word Saharamaha, meaning along with Balaram, is significant in this verse. In such transcendental pastimes, Krishna is the chief hero and Balaram provides additional help. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyanam. So this 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is being described by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, is the conclusion or epitome of all Bhagavatam's pastimes. As Prabhupada repeatedly explains, only when we go through all the 9 cantos, then we are qualified to understand and hear the pastimes of Krishna. Because 10th canto is not meant for questioning, it is meant for enjoying. Because all questioning is done till the 9th canto. Because they are so pure pastimes of the Lord, only one who is innocent, freed from all kinds of sinful activities, then he can actually relish these pastimes of Krishna. That's how the Bhagavatam is progressing. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada recommends reading Krishna book in the night time. Why? Because night time should be very peaceful. You don't question, no philosophy. Hear nice pastime, drink some milk and go to bed so that you can dream of Krishna nicely. But if our mind is jammed, choked, drinking Sprite and eating pizza, then how can you hear Krishna's pastime? So therefore, if you study carefully while giving purports, of course the acharyas are very expert knowing our level. Even with Krishna's pastimes, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur brings out. You know, even in this pastime, he brings out the anarthas. He compares demons to be certain anarthas. Even though that is not required, because they are sweet, nectarian pastime. But knowing our level, they give this sweet medicine along with certain lessons. Like in this chapter also, Prabhupada talks many things. He's narrating Krishna's pastime, but along with narrating the pastimes of Krishna, it talks about establishing Varnashram. In one place he mentions, very interestingly, he said, only those who are sober, they will understand astrology and they will learn astrology. I was quite amazed to hear this word. And we see Varnashram is so important. Unless there is a platform, you cannot exist. What to speak of understanding the pastimes of the Lord? Varnashram is not against the prema bhakti which is given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rather, it is harmonious in regards to achieving our goal. It is not conflicting. Because unless there is a platform, how can you function? And the present modern world is so conflicting with our spiritual goal. I was in Chitrakoot, so I'll speak some Ramayana also, but not in detail. Just when Bharat came to meet Lord Ram, now Ram did not ask, why did you come in the first place? He talks to him about how is the kingdom. He talks about how the kingdom is going on. And then one question Ram raised to Bharat, he said, you know, totally on a mundane platform, it sounds mundane, that are you providing the salary of your people at the right time or no? Do you make them work harder and then give them less money? He said, that is a sin. बहुत काम करा के कम सैलरी देना ये पाप है. देन लॉर्ड राम आस्क्ड भरत, आर यू एंजॉइंग द फोर प्रिंसिपल्स, द धर्म, अर्थ, काम, मोक्ष इज ऑफ कोर्स आफ्टर लाइफ. इट्स ए धर्म, अर्थ, काम. आर यू एंजॉइंग देम एट द राइट टाइम? Therefore, in our Vedic culture, in Varnashram, you know, we know the power of time. But power of right time is much greater. Doing everything at the right time. So this is what Lord Ram is questioning. You know, very interesting if you read that chapter. Similarly, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one was performing divine pastimes, no, that is also very amusing. At one stage in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he asked Shivanand Sen to handle the bank account of Vasudev Dutt. He said he just squanders by giving it to everybody. So take care of his, you know, accounts. So we see that it is very nice to hear how by clapping three times Shivas Thakur would get every resources. But doesn't happen with us. Right. If we hear this story and expect that this should happen to me, it is but nothing but sheer arrogance. Shivas Thakur, what kind of devotee is? It is easier for us to tell this story because we know somebody is providing us. Right. So therefore, Prabhupada, you know, very interestingly talks. He wanted to create a culture through which we could actually hear Krishna's pastime without anxiety. If there is no background, if there is no right background, then it is not easy to hear Krishna's pastime. We can dump as many stories to our children, to ourselves also, hoping by hearing this pastime, you know, automatically everything will happen nicely. No, there has to be coordination between our material life and our spiritual life. If there is no coordination between our material and spiritual life, neither we practice our spiritual life nicely, nor our material life nicely. Recently in our CSV meeting, our Vijay Prabhu gave a very nice example. He talked about one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, can I drive and chant also? You know, many times, you know, devotees try to do circus of mixing many things together. You know, you cook and chant also, right? You are chanting Hare Krishna and also cooking. Or you are driving and chanting. Or you are watching television and chanting Hare Krishna also. Right. We are not Hanuman who could do many things at one time. So Prabhupada gave a very simple example, simple explanation which is very deep. He said, neither you can chant nicely nor you can drive nicely. A small example. But if we connect to our entire life, when we try to do two things separately, if there is no harmony, then neither we can drive our life nicely, nor we can drive our spiritual life nicely. Therefore, in the fourth canto, Prabhupada defines success. Another beautiful, you know, explanation of success. Usually, a novice devotee, you know, he'll say, success is, you know, who cares for material life? Success is that I need to chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. So he explained success. He said, success means happy material life and at the end of life, one goes back to Godhead. If you cannot be happy here, you know, practicing Krishna consciousness and harmonious material life, it is not accidental. It is not assumption that we go back to Godhead. So therefore, when we study Dhruva Maharaj's story, it's a very beautiful lesson. When Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother, no, she didn't allow and she harshly told him that you are not qualified to sit on your father's lap because you are not having enough pious credits. You are not being favored by the Supreme Lord. And for you to receive this piety, you have to come back to this material world in my womb. She was arrogant, you know, to say like that to a 5-year-old child. But when the child came to his mother, when Dhruva came as if trampled, you know, when the snake is trampled, he was hissing, he was very angry. And he came to his mother, he was crying, helplessly crying. And the mother actually confirmed what Suruchi said. She said, yes, you are not very fortunate because you are born in my womb. And I am not the favorite queen of your father. So therefore, you want to be fortunate, then you should worship Lord Vishnu. I can't do anything about it. If you want to achieve something great, and she is speaking not spiritual achievement, she is speaking possessions. And she quoted the example of Lord Brahma. She quoted the example of Swayambhu Manu. He said, by worshipping Lord Vishnu, they achieved such a position. Therefore, only they can offer you, only he can offer you. And she said, don't be envious or angry with Suniti, Suruchi. He said, they will suffer their own karma. Now, Dhruva Maharaj was determined. Unfortunately, we see in this world, when we are helpless, you know, people teach us atheism. Right, they say, where is God now? And if you are so pious, where is God? Why is he not coming to your help? So in this condition, whatever knowledge comes to us, what does it do? It stays, it sticks. You know, our surrounding, it forces us to be influenced by what we hear. Our weak surrounding and weak philosophy makes us convinced, okay, you know, God can't help us. But Suniti, you know, she was very clear because she was born in a pious family. For her, to see God in every aspect was quite common. So therefore, she gave that knowledge to him. And then Dhruva Maharaj was very determined. And then he was walking towards the forest to achieve Krishna. And not achieve Krishna, but through Krishna achieve much higher than what Lord Brahma or Swayambhu Manu had. And Narad Muni, Prabhupada writes, being a Trikalagya, Narad Muni got to know, my God, there is such an inspiring child who is so determined to achieve something, let me go and guide him. And if you see the brilliant logic of Narad Muni told him, he said, look, as a small baby, you should not take it seriously. Go home and play. Go and play cricket. But Dhruva Maharaj said, no. Dhruva Maharaj is not interested. And then Narad Muni said, if you are not interested in going back home, and Prabhupada writes a brilliant purport, he says, for a children, praise and criticism, they don't stay long. Small children. You criticize them, they will cry, and then they will forget and they start playing. If you praise them, make Vyas Puja of your child, he will not sit there also. Because praise is not taken seriously or criticism is not taken seriously. So Narad Muni is therefore try to tell Dhruva, go and play. So that he will forget because he was a small baby. But he did not. He was more than a small baby. There was a greater maturity. He said, he realized that he is not going to go out. So then Narad Muni told, you should understand everything happens by law of karma. This experience, what you are, you know, feeling is caused because of law of karma. So therefore, you know, because it is your own law, is own your karma, so therefore, don't take it seriously and you behave like this. And Narad Muni says that those who are more qualified, now this verse is not talking about devotional credits, it's talking about material qualification or resources. It is but natural in this world, some people have more resources than us. Some people have less resources than us. Some people have equal resources as we have. It is natural. We see in this world like that. In fact, our Vidura told Dhritarashtra, he said, in this world there are five kinds of people. Those who like you, those who dislike you, those who are neutral, those who help you, and those whom you help. Just a very simple common sense. So Narad Muni said this to Dhruva Maharaj, and therefore he said, if you see someone more qualified, so according to Narad Muni also, He is confirming what Suruchi said, which was confirmed by Suniti, and now Narad Muni is confirming that by good luck, Suniti, Suruchi, is favored by king. Therefore, there is no need for you to be envious of them. No need to be envious of them. You should appreciate. And if you find someone equal like you, befriend them. Don't try to compete with them. On a material point of also, you know, it is so nice. And then he said, if you find somebody who is less than you, be compassionate to them. Now, Dhruva Maharaj heard very carefully what Narad Muni had to say. And he said, my dear sir, I am being very impudent. And unfortunately, the Kshatriya blood is flowing. Since the Kshatriya blood is flowing, these instructions do not sit in my ear. They don't fit into my system. So can you offer me something through which I can achieve my desires? This is honesty. You know, when Narad Muni gives the instruction, how can you disobey? Guru's instruction you have to follow. But Dhruva Maharaj was very, very honest. When Narad Muni told him this, he said, no, I can't do this. Why? Because this is my background. And if you see the purport of Prabhupada, so brilliantly writes, it talks about the psychology, the mindset. Not everybody is made of the same caliber. Not everybody is made of same system. Therefore, one person who is connected to education, you are saying, how modern education is so violent. Why violent? Because for everybody, same textbook. If you are not interested in maths, you are forced to study maths. No, you may have nothing to do with maths, but you are supposed to get same marks as someone who is very intelligent in maths. If you are only intelligent in maths, then you are called as an intelligent person. So he said, actually the curriculum should be designed in such a way, it should apply to individual student. That means as many students are there, that many textbooks has to be there. That means there should be no textbook only. So when Narad Muni heard from Dhruva about this, Narad Muni was not angry. He didn't say, you are arrogant. I came from such a long distance giving you highest of the philosophy. And you rascal, you don't accept it? And Prabhupada also, you can see, there is desperation in writing this purport. He says, no, nobody is disqualified from being, you know, coming to Krishna. For any reason, one can approach Krishna, but one should approach Krishna only. So when Narad Muni heard the honesty of Dhruva Maharaj, then he gave him the process through which Dhruva Maharaj could achieve the material perfection also. Prabhupada writes, he didn't want to achieve through hook and crook means. He wanted to achieve that by honest means. And because he achieved from the honest means, he developed, you know, he got everything what he wanted. Then on that platform, he was speaking pure devotional service. He said, oh my dear Lord, you know, why did I come here? You are the most precious gem, but I am looking for broken piece of glass. When Narad Muni was giving forehand precious gem, Dhruva said, no, this is not, I can't take it. Give me some broken piece of glasses. So platform, when you got the right platform, then the right attitude came. Otherwise, we see that another very interesting point is made by Lord Ram. He says to Bharat, he said, from dharma, artha should not be destroyed, and from artha, dharma should not be destroyed. If our artha is destroying our dharma, and that's what the modern money makes. The modern money, it destroys our dharma. It destroys our human values. It makes us more and more animalistic. Because the source of the wealth which is coming in this present world, you know, is very conflicting. If you have big money, you may not have good values. Somebody, our Prabhuji, was given me one nice article about education. You know, that when there was a research, when they were doing atomic bomb, when the atomic bomb was created, and there was a discussion the director of that entire operation, he asked the scientists who were involved, very, you know, if it was really true, at least the article which is written by, you know, he's a qualified person from IIT or IIM professor, he writes in this article. So they asked the scientist, they said, where do we experiment this bomb, this atomic bomb? Now, what do you expect of the scientists? They are scientists. You know, they should know the consequences, what happens. They said, I don't know how they said, but you can expect from Krishna conscious perspective, they said, wherever there is density of population, we should drop the bomb there. The man was shocked to hear this. And he went to the army officers. They were not part of this meeting. And he asked the army officer, where should we drop the bomb? They said, wherever there is minimum population, we should drop it. So education, what does this education make? You know, in 1900, education, no education was a problem in India. Now education is a problem. Just imagine, that man was shocked and he resigned from that department. He started some other department only. He said, this is too much. That they have no sensitivity, kindness. You know, another survivor of the concentration camp. He wrote letters to teachers. The content of the letter, wish I had that letter. The content of the letter, he said, when I saw in the concentration camp, you know, those who were providing the injection, they were all physicians, qualified physicians. Those who built that entire infrastructure for the concentration camp, they were very educated, qualified architects and engineers. Those who were shooting people, they were college graduates. And those who were winding up, they were qualified nurses. So when I saw all these things, he writes, I was doubtful about education. What does education make one? Education is supposed to make one more human, more kind, more courteous, but it is making more and more demonic. Therefore, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada writes very brilliantly. He says, even a devotee is not qualified on a mundane platform, you know, he creates auspiciousness to the society, not inauspiciousness. We are not against education. You know, education is important. But what kind of education? The education through which our dharma is not destroyed. What a brilliant question Ram is asking to Bharat. Does your dharma destroy your artha? And does your artha destroy your dharma? And that's what is happening. If you see the Vedic system was recently, I went to one nice farm. And, you know, the land was so fertile. And how the land is fertile? Because there is plenty of cows and cow dung, cow urine spread everywhere. Not only cow dung and cow urine, we went to their milking process. You know, they have 120 cows and very, very beautiful cows. Huge bulls, you know, and they're all Indian breed. So then they were talking to the farmers. And the farmers were saying, you know, we take out the milk. And since we are living in a remote village, you know, we don't have access to take the milk and sell it. So what they do? They churn. They make yogurt and they churn into butter, which Prabhupada also talked about. And after churning, and they churn, you know, hand churning. The churning rod was so nice, you know, long and big. And if you churn, you know, the energy you have to put, nobody needs to go to gym. And you do something tangible also. You know? You're wasting your time. First of all, you know, we live an abnormal life. And then we go to gym also. And then, you know, what are you doing? No practicality. So here this, you know, we were churning. And the sound of the churning, you know, yogurt being churned with this rod, not electrical churning, you know, that nice wood churning. The sound was so good. Then I was remembered the pastimes of Yashoda. Therefore, she didn't need any music. The background music was not there. Nowadays, even if you want to make one song, there are 50 instruments. So she was churning, and there's about 25 liters of milk. They were churning, and they allowed us to churn also. And what a sound. Still that sound is there in my ears. You know. And then after churning that much of milk, they produce some ghee, maybe 1 kilo, 2 kilo of ghee. And they sell it for 1200 rupees per kilo. And there are people who are willing to buy it also. He said, because when you churn with your hand, it is totally different. I said, okay, give me some ghee. I wanted to buy for Radha Gopinath. He said, no. Nahi milega. Hamara already ordered hai. And then what do they do with the chhas? Hum log kitna payenge? How much can we drink? Hum log ped pe phek dete. So that is opulence. It is not a waste. When you throw it to the trees and the land become more and more fertile. Her capability, she becomes very happy. She reciprocates. You are giving me chhas, I'll give you ghee. I'll give you best of the grass. You feed it to your cows. So how can this not help, because there is such a beautiful reciprocation in earning artha, which is conducive to hear Krishna's pastime, which is not conflicting. One can carefully hear. And therefore we see another article which he gave, very brilliant. Who is more advanced? You know, how much we are fascinated by the modern technology, all of us, even the brahmacharis. But it is said, how do you know what is scientific? That article mentions that the Native Americans and also in India, if there was any invention of anything, which they would not do, they would only depend on the scriptures, but if there was something which was invented in their own native village, they would keep it a great secret for 7 generations. They would only try on few people to utilize, and only after 7 generations, if it was usable, the benefits were much greater than the disadvantage, then they would allow it to be used. Just see, who is more advanced? They have the patience to see and test for 7 generations, then bring it to the market so that it is beneficial. Now what happens? You know, anything which is invented, immediately it is brought to the market. Now after 4 generations, you realize this is the worst thing, but it is so late that you can't go back also. So it's more advanced. Even the concept of Punarjanma, Prabhupada writes in one of this same chapter purports, that it is but natural for a sober man to think about past, think about the present, and think about the future. Like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, we see, Arjuna is talking the tradition, that means the background. He is talking about the present. He is talking about the future. And he is talking about the post-future. If I fight on this war, thousands of people will be killed. That will be the present situation. And because I kill thousands of people, then women will be, you know, not protected. And because they will not be protected, they will be exploited. And because they will be exploited, there will be Varna Sankara. That is the future. And the post-future is because they will not be getting any offerings of Shraddha Patra, then their ancestor will dwell in hell. So this whole entire life scale, seeing from the background to the future, is a sign of being very scientific. And one who is educated from a modern point of view, where does he see? Only the present. Forget about future life. As much as you are more educated, more scientific, that much you feel, you know, there is no next life. So illogical. But that's how the education is taught like that. And therefore, as long as we are connected to such education, problem is, I'm speaking everywhere this, you know, the problem is that the modern education is bad. And the more problem is that we don't have alternative. We don't have an alternative. We can't tell people, okay, get out. It's easier to sit and tell, you know, modern education or slaughterhouses, you know, you're not going to get any benefit of it. But where will the people go? They need some facility to make money. Without money, one cannot do anything in this world. Money is required. In fact, the Bhagavatam also explains, I think Shukracharya told us to Bali Maharaj, he said, even for Atma Unnati, he says, money should be divided in 5 parts. Artha ko 5 bhag mein vivajit karna chahi. And one, that with your resources, he said, one part should be utilized for Atma Unnati, for the upliftment of one's position. That means going back to Godhead. One part should be used for furthering economic development. One part should be used for experiencing success. Yash ki prapti ke liye. One part should be used for dharma. And one part should be used for family. Now, our Mahaprakash was telling me, you know, generally most number of people there, 70% of money is used for simply eating. Just for eating, 70% money is utilized. So where is the question of Atma? How will they believe in Atma also? When there is a problem to just maintain this material body and most of the money is going there is no Atma Unnati, forget the yash. I don't mind going to the jail also as long as I make my money. So therefore, so difficult. And you tell them, okay, read Krishna book. That will help you. So when they read Krishna book, there will be millions of questions also. One devotee child, you know, is in 7th standard in Pune. You know, these are Hindu kids only, sitting behind his desk. And they're talking so rubbish about Radha Krishna, and this boy is a karate champion. And he was, you know, he was so angry, he was so disturbed hearing all that. You know, in the class only he wanted to punch. And the boy and girl, they're sitting and talking about it. And he was so disturbed when he came back to his home. He was talking to his parents, and I'm so disturbed, you know, hearing all this nonsense. Just imagine, he's innocent, you know, parents are training him in Krishna consciousness, hearing nice pastimes of the Lord. But when he hears something, it was so disturbing. You know, he was chanting, he was reading Bhagavatam, and then he was trying to serve. You know, once the contamination goes inside, hearing a wrong thing about the Lord's pastime, it is not very easy to take it out. He was struggling hard. But some other, he came and, you know, came and spoke to his father, and fortunately father had the time to deal with him. He didn't say, you know, you get out, you know, I need to work, you know, I need to make money for your school only. So just see how unfortunate this modern material world is. You know, it creates no, that example of Prabhupada, stuck so hard, you can't drive properly and you can't chant properly also. You're not happy driving properly because you're not driving, because you're trying to chant. And because you're chanting while driving, you're not happy chanting also. Neither material life gives you happiness, nor your Krishna consciousness is giving you happiness. We are all made Trishankus. Neither in the heaven, nor in the earthly planet. Latka hua hai, upar se nicha hai. So therefore, you know, Prabhupada was giving so much of emphasis on Varnashram, Varnashram, Varnashram. How Varnashram has to be established. Because Varnashram creates such a beautiful platform. It is very harmonious. You know, it fulfills the cycle of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. We are not Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. It is not against our philosophy. Rather, it is complementing our philosophy of Krishna Prem. If we do not practice Dharma in our childhood, that is the time when we are supposed to practice Dharma in the school. And then, now we see the school, the most of the modern schools, there is no Dharma only. Nice luxurious buses, nice AC classrooms, and the kids are spoiled. They are not taught austerity. Chanakya Pandit says, if you are not given austerity in school life, where will the education come? The education will not come. And if you want sense gratification, then how will you find education? Modern schools and colleges, there is full of sense gratification. When you walk through college, you know, it's so painful. How will these kids, they are slaughtered. There is people going, you know, along as if they are walking dead bodies, brushing each other, men and women. No sense control. And that's what, no sense control means you become a consumer. See, on a material platform also, when you control your senses, your resources increase. You don't control your senses, your loan increase. As simple as that. You know, I was driving from Pune to Vada and we saw this huge stadium near Pune. That is another progress for that city. And to come to that stadium for people who want to watch the match, you know, they can't, you know, there is no other way than to come by your own vehicle. No, they made it outside the city. So the car parking costs 500 rupees. And the two-wheeler costs 200 rupees car parking. So what does that indicate? Those who are coming there, you know, I don't want to say they're idiots, no? But they are. Because they are brainwashed, and before being brainwashed, they have been trained in such a way that don't control your senses. So even though you know what is globalization means, simple thing. Globalization means more and more consumer and less people hold the money. Globalization is not benefiting the people. You know, globalization is benefiting few demons who stack their money, you know, somewhere, you know, billions of dollars. But the Vedic system is, I was reading one verse, Manu Samhita, it explained, we were discussing. Manu Samhita says that what is the greatest prosperity in this world? He said, greatest prosperity is independence. If you are independently working, that means you are working for yourself, he said, that is prosperity. And Manu says, in no condition you should work for anybody. If you work for others, that is Shwanavritti. And that is the greatest misery. Now, Vedic civilization talks about, if you see, the Vaishyas are independent. The Kshatriyas are independent. The Brahmanas are independent. They have no loyalty of anybody. A Brahmana, if he doesn't like this country, if the king is not providing the knowledge, the king is not facilitating Vedic studies, the Brahmana will walk out of that kingdom and go to some other kingdom. And that is not called as betrayal. Because you are not providing, I am going to other country. A Kshatriya, Prabhupada explains, till the war begins, he can decide. And that's what the Pandavas said. Whoever wants to join this party, he can come here. And Yuyutsava walked in. And that was not considered as, you know, betrayal. Independence. Independence was given so much of importance. And Prabhupada talks about the Vaishya. They didn't care who rules. After all, whoever rules, I need to give 1/6 of my money to the king. And whichever king, it doesn't matter. Whether it is Akbar or Aurangzeb. That was their understanding. Only those who were controlled were the Shudras. Right. So therefore, more number of people were independent and less number of people were dependent. But the modern society is what? You know, if you see calculation, less number of people exploiting, but more number of people are being exploited. The Vedic civilization was that more number of people are exploiting, but less people were there to be exploited. See this maths. So therefore, and in the Vedic system, the Vedic education was focusing on sense control, sense control, sense control. Once you control your senses, the economic growth is there. I remember many years back, Krishna Chandra Prabhu gave this class. And he said, because in India, you know, they used to follow Vedic system. You know, the savings was more than 20%, 27%. I don't want to ask all of you how much you save, you know, 27% or you have 15% loan which you have to pay every month. 27% was the saving, and why? Because of lifestyle. And in the Western world, you know, there is no question of saving only. And therefore, the whole propaganda is that you don't control your senses. If you don't control your senses, then we can make more money. We can make more money. And we will keep you always in anxiety. Keep working, keep working. Don't save. If you go, you know, these factories where I used to go for book distribution. You know, you ask them. You know, they are very honest to share their salaries. You don't ask salary, for people, but we used to ask how much you earn. जैसे हम लोग कमाते 25,000 15,000 18,000 रुपए, घर कितना ले जाते हो? 1,500 रुपए. हेलो वाई, यू नो हमारे हमारे फैक्ट्री में यू नो दी टू व्हीलर कंपनी कम्स, द वॉशिंग मशीन कंपनी कम्स. व्हेन द वॉशिंग मशीन कंपनी कम्स दे बाय इट ऑल्सो विदाउट इवन रियलाइजिंग इन द विलेज इज मोस्ट ऑफ द टाइम देर इज नो इलेक्ट्रिसिटी ऑल्सो. अल्टीमेटली यू हैव टू यूज योर हैंड ओनली टू वॉश योर क्लोथ्स, बट बिकॉज दे आर टेम्प्टेड यू नो बाय दिस वॉशिंग मशीन. That is a reality, and they would buy. And how? You know, you give, you know, every month your salary is cut. So in this way, most of their money, and the psychology is, किसे में तो नहीं जा रहे ना? महीने के बाद कटेगा. That is also किसे से ये. So in this way, I spoke to many many such workers, and we were also doing the same thing. Okay. Of course, for Krishna's service. You know, using it for the right reason, that their salary was cut through our books. But that's what they would do. 1,500 rupees they would take home, where their salary was 15,000 to 18,000 rupees. And most of the items what they would purchase was not usable also. Just imagine that in the name of making us intelligent, we are given so much information. The information is there. But if there is no facility to apply that information which will help us, you know, elevate our consciousness, you know, become progressive in regards to values, then on every front, on the dharma front, on the artha front, on the kama front, and on the moksha front, we'll be very weak. We'll not progress only. So therefore, just imagine Krishna's system. It is a Deva Nirmita. It is Krishna has made this system, and we have gone so far away from this system. So far away from this system. And therefore Prabhupada wanted that, you know, some or other, if people can come back to this system, and then it is easier to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then actually we can have a nice milk of glass. You know, even devotee children, they are scared. They have allergy with milk. No, just imagine if you have allergy with milk. I can understand with gobar. With milk also, if you are allergic. If with yogurt you are allergic, what does it show? What does it indicate? There is something wrong in the system. And if you give them the Sprite, if you give them nice Surabhi cow's milk, keep one glass. And then give Pepsi and Sprite, naturally will be attracted to that only. So this is, you know, very very sad situation. So unless some devotees take, of course some devotees are trying to do it, you know, trying to establish Varnashram system, you know, and when we coordinate between these two, then we can actually sit in the night time. Just imagine sitting. You know, if there is a courtyard, now there is no courtyard only. You are facing each other's house's wall. You know, you can sit out, have a glass of milk, and read the beautiful stories of Krishna's childhood pastime. Then you don't ask questions. The milk is enlightening you. Prabhupada says milk increases our, you know, spiritual substance. You sip on the milk and hear Krishna's pastime. Why will you not sleep nicely? You'll sleep nicely. Nowadays, you can't hear Krishna's pastime, you don't drink milk also, and you can't sleep also. And therefore, you don't get up also nicely. So the whole system is soft, topsy-turvy. I am speaking helplessly. But this is a reality. So unless we know the reality, and if some people take, you know, revolution is always created by one person. Revolution is not created by a group of people. A group of people simply follow. We don't expect and don't even try to do, you'll fail. You know, walk out of this door, you know, I don't want to work, I'll go to the farm. You can't bend also. We are so conditioned that our body cannot bend also to the field. So therefore, don't try to be a revolutionary. Somebody will come hopefully, you know, reading Prabhupada's books, reading Krishna book, try to create revolution, and what we have to do? We have to just follow them. Just follow them, and just by following their lifestyle, then life will be successful. Then we can actually enjoy the beautiful pastimes of Krishna through Krishna book or through Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Gaurang Prabhu is going to churn the nectar in the afternoon. He is going to churn with big rod Mandar Mountain. Yes, Brajvihari Prabhu, comment.
Hare Krishna. You are talking about this, you know, our modern education is faulty and Vedic culture is so good. Sometimes people argue that Vedic culture is responsible for the modern day corruption and problems in the country. Because in the Vedic culture, people are trained to worship many, many demigods. There are so many demigod temples in so many ages. So people go to demigod temples and they have material desires. So they put money in the hundi and they ask from God. So that culture of material desires, needs and bribing the Lord, it begins with bribing the Lord. And then they start bribing in the society also. And so basically this low class culture in the society is because of Vedic culture. So how do you refute that
just
argument?
Just see what kind of logic they have also. You know, very simple. Krishna explains in the Gita, you know, it is not that you bribe demigod by wrong reason and logic. Unless you are qualified, no demigod has the power to provide any facilities. He'll be slapped by Krishna. You show one example where the demigods are facilitating wrongly. Even if they do, sometimes exceptional cases are there. It did happen with Hiranyakashipu, you know, Vrakrasur, but Krishna is there to balance it out. So therefore the demigods cannot do. Now here, you know, that's what, unfortunately, Indians know something about the history and the Puranas, and they connect it in such a wrong way, to ultimately prove that how Vedic literature is only responsible. What should you do? Laugh, cry, or commit suicide? That is absolutely nonsense. That yes, Krishna explains, kam kankshatam karmanam siddhi ijanta iha devata. Kshipram imanushim loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. But they cannot, because again Gita explains that even the resources what the demigods are giving, it is also coming from Krishna only. You cannot, the whole concept is you cannot make any of your resources by wrong means and flourish forever. Not possible. It is not possible at all. So therefore, you know, even if you see, okay, the mundane material work, if it is materially functioning properly, then also we can accept it. Forget about the spirituality. Even materially it can provide good food, good health, good education, good relationship, family relationship. That is also, it is not providing. The animals are better off as long as they don't come in touch with humans. So therefore, even materially, there is no such success. So how can we take it seriously? Of course, it will not be successful materially because there is no such thing as exclusive material life. Material life has to be connected with our ultimate goal of life. So therefore, you know, simple logic that, you know, there is no such thing in the Vedic scripture that, you know, you bribe them. You offer them because they own it. You give them that sacrifice. You know, I was reading something. It is explained, the whole concept of sacrifice is ultimately leading towards Atma Arpan. You know, offering oneself in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what it is leading to. But the gradual progression, gradual process. So therefore, you know, that's what Indians can create such a logical, it sounds so logical also. Like Duryodhan, when he was dying, you know, it can create discouragement. When Duryodhan was dying, Bhima was so hurt. So much of pain was there. And Bhima is very expressive. No? Like, not like Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj is, you know, he thinks, करना चाहिए कि नहीं. बट भीमा इज वेरी एक्सप्रेसिव. ऑल दैट ही हैज टोल्ड यू नो हेल्पलेसली, वेर ही हैड द पावर टू टेक एक्शन बट ही वॉज नॉट अलाउड टू टेक एक्शन. सो वेन ही गॉट द अपॉर्चुनिटी टू टेक एक्शन, ही टुक एक्शन विथ इंटरेस्ट ऑल्सो. सो एन दुर्योधन वॉज लाइंग ऑन द ग्राउंड, यू नो ही किक्ड ऑन हिज हेड and the crown fell off on a distant. And what Duryodhan says? Duryodhan says, after all, you know, when somebody dies, uske sir par kawwa to baithta na, your leg is like a crow's leg. After all, what are you going to enjoy now? Hey Pandava, what are you going to enjoy? He said, without dharma, I stayed in this world, enjoyed the kingdom, enjoyed the prosperity, I never went to the forest, I made all you drink water from the pond. Now what you'll be enjoying? What is there to enjoy? I enjoyed so much. And he died. It sounds so realistic. That dharma ultimately has no facility to enjoy. And that's what people will present one side of the story. Jabali, he told Ram, he said, come on, what is this dharma, dharma, dharma? All suffering only if you follow dharma. Forget about dharma. You know, it is, what is your father, what is your mother, why you have to follow their instruction? It is all chemical combination, because of that chemical combination you have come. Real dharma is to enjoy what is coming to your quota. And he gives a brilliant example. He says that when you offer shraddha, somebody is living in some other place, Pitrilok, and you are offering here, how will it reach? If it has to reach in reality, so when somebody goes to a trip, when he goes to a trip, he said, why you give him food along with him? Ghar pe baito, usko offer karo, usko milna chahiye udhar. See, he gives such a logic. And when Ram heard this, his eyes became red hot. He said, who allowed you to be my father's minister? It is my father's mistake that he has kept such a nastic in our country. Then Vashishth Muni came to his protection. No, no, actually it's not like that. You know, he just want that you rule, and using the philosophy, the atheistic philosophy. But Ram said, no, cannot follow atheistic philosophy. So therefore India, you know, people can take one story from the Bhagavatam, Ramayana and Mahabharata and twist and turn and give 100 perception which is unbona fide, but sounds so good. Because, you know, perverted intelligence is there, intellectualism is there, na? Basically, you know, our class is Indian people are speculators. Good speculators. When they speculate with Shastra story also, when they speculated more and more non-traditionally, they become very happy, and those who hear from them, they also become very happy. So just see how they are quoting that, you know, the whole system of bribing started in Puranas only. Give a dog bad name and hang it. So they don't want to do anything with Puranas. But they will only quote Puranas to give a bad name. Therefore we need kings like Parikshit Maharaj, you know, on the administration. Somebody speaks atheism, we can't do it. You know, we are helpless trying to be a Brahminical body. But we need Kshatriyas, powerful Kshatriyas. Wherever anybody speaks atheism, what comes out? The sword has to come out. The discipline has to come out. We can't do it again. Don't try to take sword and you just preach Krishna consciousness. But there has to be such king like that. No, there is no such king. So therefore, you know, I think Prabhupada also mentioned that the Brahmanas are still there. You can still find Brahmanas, but there are no Kshatriyas. And if there are, they're all atheistic. Who will quote like this? The bribery originally started in the Hindu scriptures only. That is very sad and unfortunate. Yeah, we'll stop here. Garantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.